the Lord impressed on me a verse of scripture a couple of weeks ago, and I've been thinking a lot about it. And it's Psalm 27, verse 4. The whole passage of 27 is a very, very wonderful psalm. But it's the one on 27:4 that really blessed me, made me focus. And I wanted to entitle this short little message, Making God's Beauty Our Home. Making God's Beauty Our Home. And I'll start out with a little story. There was a blind man who was sitting in public with his hat at his feet and a sign that said, I'm blind, please help. And a lot of people passed him, few people gave donations. And later, there was a PR person who worked in public relations. And he came by and he flipped the sign over and he wrote something different and set it back down again. And he left. And later, on returning, the hat was full of money. And so he told the fellow what he had written. Today is spring, and I can't see it. And the question is, why did that stir the passers-by when they saw that? Well, here's what I think that the answer to this was. It changed their perspective. It changed their perspective. They were able to see the beauty of spring. The gift of sight allowed them to see the beauty of spring, but the blind person could not see it. So it really gave them a lot more compassion. And the thing is, God gives Christians spiritual sight to appreciate His beauty, and it's all around us, but it points to a really beautiful God. And sometimes we get distracted by our busy schedules walking by, and we don't notice the spring's beauty, or we don't notice how beautiful things are, and we take it for granted. And we also don't notice those who are still spiritually blind, and they can't see God's beauty, and they can't see the beautiful God that we serve. So, to enjoy a life that is full of God's beauty, we must focus our eyes on Jesus. We must focus our eyes on Jesus. And that's what this psalm, which I want to read now, Psalm 27:4, says. It says, One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Distractions can attract us. They attract our attention. Distractions attract, but divine sight gives delight. I had to make a little poem out of that. But it's true. Divine sight can delight us. It really can delight us really deeply. Whereas distractions, they attract our attention, and we're not satisfied usually after our distractions are over with. There was a Bible teacher, John Stott, and he died almost a decade ago now, I think. He said this once. He wrote this down. The thing I know will give me the deepest joy, namely, to be alone and unhurried in the presence of God, aware of His presence, my heart open to worship Him, is often the thing that I least want to do. And that was a great confession. You know, he was British, but I think a lot of Americans can make that statement too. When there's an opportunity for us to spend time in God's presence, we look for something else to do. We'd rather do that. And we're missing something because of that. Well, there was a theologian named Philip Schaff. He was one that put together a lot of stuff that we have today that for studies, histories and things like that. and even some biblical commentary type of things. But anyway, he said this when he was describing American Christianity to some Germans. Now, he was a Swiss theologian, but he was describing American Christianity to some Germans. And here's what he says. American Christianity is more like the busy Martha than the pensive Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. American Christianity expands more in breadth than in depth. It is often carried on like a secular business in a mechanical way or a utilitarian spirit. And I thought, boy, that's a bad commentary on American Christianity. But that was 170 years ago. And you know something? We still are busy and don't take a lot of time just to sit quietly and meditate on the Lord. We still are very, very busy, busy, driven kind of people, Americans. So what's the difference between Mary and Martha? Well, in Luke chapter 10, it does give us. I'm going to read Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And just listen to this story of Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, in our American spirit, our busy spirit, our pragmatic, get things done spirit, we might identify with Martha really a lot. But and we might even make the same complaint that Martha made. But this verse that we have, and I'm going to read it out of the Message translation of this verse, Psalm 27:4. This verse seems to be the prayer that Mary makes. This is her prayer. I'm asking God for one thing, only one thing, to live with him in his house my whole life long. I'll contemplate his beauty. I'll study at his feet. And you know, that's really wonderful. I think that when Eugene Peterson translated that, he was thinking about Mary and Martha, and he was trying to capture that idea of sitting at the feet of Jesus and contemplating his beauty and his presence. Well, to enjoy a life full of God's beauty, she focused her eyes on Jesus. Now, there is other focuses in our lives, and once we put that as a priority, then those other things fall into place. And I'm sure if Martha had sat down and beside Mary at the feet of Jesus, then after Jesus said, "Now let's all go and start preparation," and Jesus might even have helped Mary and Martha prepare the food. Who knows? Or he might have just said a blessing and then it all multiplied. But anyway, we look at that story and we sort of judge Mary sometimes, I think. And I think what we have to do is to get away from our busy mentality and say, no, she put the right priority. And that's the thing. Our devotion to dwell on Christ, that using the word dwell, like you think about or you're meditating on, you're dwelling on Christ, that defines how we dwell in him. How we dwell on Christ defines how we dwell in him. And so I have a little questions here. How supreme is our focus? How supreme is our focus? One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. Do we really see closeness to God as a priority, as the top priority in our lives? We think about this idea of delight. What is our delight? Now, some people, they think, I've got to get my prayers done. It's a duty. It's almost like a chore list. It's getting my duty done. But is it a delight to spend time in the presence of the Lord? Now, you may be asking things, especially guidance sometimes, but I'm just saying, is that our delight? Is that our top priority so that everything else afterwards fits into place? And then another question, how intimate is this focus? How intimate is our focus with the Lord? Is it something that is, he's way out there and I'm just here and I'm trying to send up a prayer to him almost in a mechanical way? Or is it an intimate focus? It says, is it that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life? Now, it's interesting. The house of the Lord wasn't just a place. It was more something else. It was something else. And you best see it this way. Jacob would have described the house of the Lord. Here's what had happened to him after this dream he had. In Genesis 28, he says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. He made all these statements about he's in this place. This is the house of God. And here he was in the desert. There was only just desert stuff around there. I mean, this is the house of God. It's not that the place necessarily. It's the presence. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. That makes it the house of God. And that is where we want to live. And that is what we have in Jesus because he lives inside of us. And so we become that house of God. I want to be present with the Lord because he's present with me. So that's another kind of way of looking at it. And it's a lifelong relationship. It's a lifelong fellowship. It's not something that comes and goes. It's forever. And we say that each time we say the 23rd Psalm. In the 6th verse of the 23rd Psalm, it says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, you know, I used to think that that was more or less going into God's house, going to church or something like that. No, it's not that. It is the encounter that we have where we're in the presence of the Lord. And that is where we want to be our whole lives, in the presence of God. That's the house of the Lord. And then, do we focus on his beauty? Now, it says to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Is that our desire, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord? Well, you know, you heard that thing, take time to smell the roses. That is really important in our lives. Why? It's because God, in his creation, he has made many, many, many beautiful things in creation. Roses are one of them. I know they have some thorns, but they have some beautiful smells sometimes, and other flowers too. And just trees and bushes and grassy hills and meadows, they're so beautiful. And fruit. You know, the production of fruit on these beautiful trees. And I just saw a bird fly out because I got the window in front of me here. And I thought, you know, there are some birds that are just lovely to look at. And they're beautiful. Well, these created beauties are a prelude for us spending our eternity before the beauty of the Lord who created them. These things in creation are just an indication of what kind of beauty comes from the beautiful Creator. We haven't seen anything yet, you know. And so we focus on his beauty. And when we look around and see the nature and pass by and see the springtime beauty, we don't want to be blind to it. We don't want to be distracted. We want to actually take some time from our distractions and say, look at that bird, or look at that flower. Praise God for creating such a beautiful thing. And then how eager is our focus? We want to be focused, but how eager is the focus? And this is what it says in the last part of the verse, to seek him in his temple, to seek him in his temple. Now, in the King James Version or the New King James, it says to inquire within his temple. And there is this seeking for knowledge, seeking for understanding, seeking him to learn from him. That's why this word inquire is a good translation there. The Holy Spirit makes each of us Christ's temple. Each of us are his temple through the Holy Spirit. So we can ask him anything all day long. It doesn't matter when we ask him questions. We don't have to be spending on our time in our knees only. We can be walking outside and ask him a question. Why? Because he lives in this temple, and we want to seek him in this temple. What do you want me to do today, Lord? What is something I haven't seen today that you want to show me? You know, that kind of thing. And then there's a prayer that you might have become familiar to you in the it came from the rock opera or something called Godspell. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, Godspell, but you might have heard the song, Day by Day. But the Day by Day is not the original. The original came from Richard of Chichester in the 1200s. And he wrote a prayer that really helps us to keep our eyes open and attentive and our hearts attentive to the Lord, to Jesus. Thanks be to thee, my Lord Jesus Christ, O most merciful friend, brother, and redeemer. May I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly. And then we almost want to say day by day, because that's what the song Day by Day says. But let me read this verse one more time, because it's such a beautiful verse to help us say, what's my focus today? One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Although we're not blind, we are not, as Christians, we are not blind to Christ's beauty, but we can get distracted. We can become inattentive. And so we've got to remember, if we want to enjoy God, the fullness of God's beauty, and have a life that's full of God's beauty, our eyes must focus on Jesus. And I wanted to end this message with a little song that we used to sing in the church. And if you want to sing along, you're all muted, so it won't hurt. It's Open Our Eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Amen.